You're talking about New York City. You're talking about the grid, the difficulty of designing within a very set space, and not only building upwards, but making sure you don't impact anything downwards. You have subways and tunnels and all kinds of utility and electrical work. And then you have foundational issues.
You're listening to the Building Better Futures podcast, where innovation meets inspiration. In each episode, host Eric Hirani journeys alongside notable thought leaders who are shaping the future, cultivating exceptional work cultures, and nurturing the next generation of trailblazers. We aim to spark inspiration by engaging in dialogue with leaders from groundbreaking companies, innovative projects, and exceptional teams. Our goal is to empower individuals to positively impact those around them and leave a lasting legacy of positive change in our communities and society at large. Let's dive in together and explore what it takes to build better futures, one conversation at a time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode with John Evers, President and CEO of ACEC New York. Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning. Fine.
Before we get right into the show, I always like to start with some good news and gratitude. So I wanted to ask you if you have anything you'd like to share with the audience, any good news, gratitudes for team members, something along those lines.
I just want to say it's a beautiful day here in Albany, and we're glad we survived Hurricane. Was it Debbie? I think it was. But feel bad that some parts of the country were underwater and they've had some damage, but very glad that it's a new day and we can move forward.
Yeah, I mean, the challenges we're facing from weather historical standpoint have been enormous the last few years, right? We're still rebuilding from some of the hurricanes we had a decade ago here. Appreciate you bringing that to everyone's attention. For me, my gratitude is always on episode day is to you, the guest. So thank you, John, for joining us. I know it takes a lot of time out of your busy schedule. I know you have probably 1,000 things on your mind. So I appreciate you making some time here to be with us.
No, glad to be here.
To get started, so let's just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your role. Tell us about ACEC New York. What would you like to share there?
Sure. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Eric. I appreciate the opportunity to talk more about ACEC New York and about engineering overall. I've been here going on year 4 prior to being the president CEO of ACEC New York. I was a senior director of government affairs for the Business Council in New York State. In New York State, we have a combination, the Chamber of Commerce and the Association of Manufacturers are combined. So the Business Council is a premier business organization in New York State representing both the chamber and manufacturing. And I was there for about 10 years. Prior to that, I had been a commissioner. So I had been a public owner. So I know what engineers in construction go through because I've seen projects go from the design to the bid to the proposal phase to completion. And some of those projects helped me cut my teeth on engineering, but I also did engineering lobbying and construction and transportation lobbying for years with the Business Council. And prior to all that, I started as a staffer here in the state legislature with the staff of Assemblyman Dick Connors, who was the assemblyman from Albany. He was known as the Dean of the Assembly. He was the most senior eldest member, the elder statesman, sat in seat number 1. And I used to sit next to him down on the floor 35 years ago, in right below the assembly rostrum. So I've had a long career, but it's been basically in public policy and construction engineering work and lobbying, all the way to here to representing ACEC New York and about our 300 member firms.
I think that's an incredible background. I shared with you before we came on that, I do a little bit of research on the speakers, and you and I know each other, even prior to this, I knew a little bit. I do want to thank you for your service. I think it's very easily overlooked that there's so many people involved in all of the public infrastructure that gets built, all of the policy that gets created throughout the state. And I know you've had your hand in it for, like you just shared the last 20, almost 30 plus years. So thank you for doing that. So speaking about ACEC New York, tell us a little bit about what do you guys do for your members and what are some of the key benefits of being a member? And then how do the members also play like such an impactful role in the organization?
ACEC New York has been around for over 100 years. We were founded in 1921, and we had an upstate chapter and a downstate chapter in Manhattan and New York City, and they merged right around the year 2000, and so officially became one in 2003. So now, for over 103 years, we've been representing the business of engineering. And by business of engineering, I mean the firms themselves. So the firms can range from a small one-person shop all the way to a multinational, international engineering firm representing, you know, engineers. You must be an engineering firm licensed in New York State. But within the ranks, they also have architects, land surveyors, and geologists and geotech. And we represent firms that are in every aspect of engineering. In fact, I was kind of joking with the board of directors when we had our meeting recently. We had to add acoustical to our list of engineers, where it had geotech and civil and so forth. But we have a lot of big cities in New York, and acoustical engineering is important, particularly in Manhattan, or when you talk about tunnels and skyscrapers and the like. So these member firms, about 300 or so, including our affiliates, which are supporting industries and supporting firms that don't do engineering, but work with and for our firms, work on every project in New York State. I say the built environment is designed by us. So you can look anywhere you want, and you'd say an engineer had their hands in that, whether it's, you know, a building, a bridge, a tunnel, large infrastructures, roads, every part of New York State. And New York State is uniquely positioned. We have the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, one of the largest independent agencies. Not a lot of people know it, that it's a bi-state, so it needed U.S. Senate approval back when it was proposed by Al Smith well over 100 years ago. Then we have international authorities and projects like the Buffalo area with the Peace Bridge, international crossings up by St. Lawrence, the largest airports in the world with two in New York City, and a third right over the river in Newark. We have a tunnel going underneath the Hudson, the Gateway Development Corporation's improving that Northeast Corridor. So it's the largest public infrastructure projects in the United States. Then we have very big projects right here in New York State, like the I-81 project in Syracuse. And we've got projects that we're very proud of that have been recently completed, like Tappan Zee Bridge, the Moynihan Station, Second Avenue Subway, or the East Side Access, I should say. And then the Delta Terminal at the Port Authority. So we have a lot of these great projects that are underway or have been completed that take hundreds, if not thousands, of engineers and hundreds of our firms. And we're very proud of that.
That's amazing. And so much information there. And I'm going to try to touch on a few things. One is, I love history. So while I knew it was a bi-state agency, I did not know that it required Senate approval. I actually never even thought about how did that come about? So that's very interesting. So thank you for sharing that with me. And I'm sure that's a Wikipedia search in my future. And then, you know, I love the different types of projects you spoke about and the geography we cover, because New York it's a humongous state, right? You know, and very often we think about New York, and myself included, as New York City. But, you know, we've done work upstate and we've seen work in Buffalo, and, you know, there's some thriving other regions in the state. So I appreciate what you guys do to support all of them.
It's interesting when you say that, Eric, and it is true. People have a tendency, when I travel around, I say I'm from New York, and they say, whereabouts in New York? And I say, well, Albany. And they say, well, that's not New York, because they associate it with Manhattan. But we have about half of our membership in the five boroughs in downstate, and the other half on Long Island and upstate. So it is vast. It's like its own country. We still have a canal system. We have a large thruway authority. We have very big international airports around the state. So it is a massive and diverse project base.
For sure. So speaking about projects, I know you have personally, and then also through ACC New York, been involved in a lot of great projects, advocacy for them. Is there one that like really stands out, you know, that just was such a positive impact? You know, part of the show about building better futures is, how are we constructing that for society at large? And so tell us about a project you think really impacted, you know, people, maybe even you personally. Like, I've worked on projects that end up personally impacting my life. You know, they positively, obviously.
Sure. I think, you know, one that I'm very proud of is this year's winner for the Empire Award was the Tri-Venture project when it came to the East Side Access. And what I really liked about it was that it was WSP, Parsons, and STV, was that it really was something that had gone on for an entire generation of engineers. We have one particular member who started his career on this and saw it all the way to fruition. So this project was just an amazing project. I mean, and it took all kinds of engineering, all kinds of infrastructure building. So that was one you know, really interesting one because everybody's heard of it. And probably in a similar vein, it was the same with Moynihan Station. You know, another project with Severud that it took so much innovation, so much design and engineering in the intricacies. And you're not talking about building these projects or designing these projects on an empty piece of land. You're talking about New York City. You're talking about the grid, the difficulty of designing within a very set space, and not only building upwards, but making sure you don't impact anything downwards. You have subways and tunnels and all kinds of utility and electrical work. And then you have foundational issues. Geotech is a very big part of all these projects because you have to build down into Manhattan to make sure you can anchor this. This is an island. People don't realize that. And you have a lot of buildings that and a lot of weights and a lot of constrictions. So these projects right down there in the last few years, I was very interested to see those because I had heard of them long before I was involved with ACEC. And you could open up the paper 20 years ago and they talk about these particular projects. I remember being in the Moynihan Post Office, and now it's the Moynihan Station. And that was another iconic. They had to save the facade and save the surrounding area, but at the same time, make sure it was built deep enough and structurally sound enough to get to the trains that are running, which would be under all the roads and bridges and everything down there. So I'm very proud of those things when it comes to New York State. A lot of other states don't have those kind of projects. They don't. And those are just two of the most recent that I've really, really been proud of.
One of the projects that I talk about a lot that personally impacted me was East Side Access. I live on Long Island. And being able to get to the east side of Manhattan that quickly, it's amazing that. And Third Track obviously played, you know, a huge part in it and all the work the MTA does in their upkeep. And the new Moynihan is just absolutely beautiful. It's funny the personal connections you start to have with things in the city, because when I was an intern, I used to go and like eat lunch on it because I was interning at One Penn. I would cross the street and we'd sit on the steps of Moynihan and have lunch, me and the other intern there, you know, and so I have like a personal connection with that building. And now to see what they've done, it's beautiful. And so I really applaud all those efforts and both those projects. And I agree, New York is such a unique place to build. The project in itself is magnificent, but then to think of the environment in which they did that, you know, regulatory, active buildings, pedestrian, traffic count. I mean, the challenges go on and they still did it. It's amazing.
It is. It becomes truly something of a work of art when it's finished. And you can really judge a society by what they create and build. And New York City, in fact, New York State, but New York itself, writ large, has so many of these iconic infrastructure pieces that just are a beacon to what mankind can build, design, and enact for a public purpose. That's also something that's often missed, is that I defy anyone to talk about a public policy or a public service that hits as many people as the engineering world, because we design everything that's used, the roads that you travel on, from which you get your deliveries to, the bridges that take you different places, the airports that can take you internationally, the subways that take you to work, even the canal system that dates over 200 years ago that still spans the backbone of New York State, the huge power plants at Niagara Falls and up in Messina. I mean, these are massive projects that all started with the minds and thoughts of engineers.
And also it started with society, right? The whole thought was, how do we benefit society with the end of this? And I love that, you know, and every day we're trying to build a better future for us, for the next generation. And I feel lucky, and I'm sure you do too, to be around when these projects were completed. Because like you said, I mean, you know, Second Avenue Subway being another example, started 100 years ago, you know, and that was like, so some people didn't get to see it to fruition. I know you mentioned a member earlier that got to see East Side Access, and that's wonderful. But I feel very fortunate to be around to see a lot of these mega projects come and really understand the impact that they have on the city. So you talked there about the importance of public projects. And public projects are really driven by public funding. Tell us, you know, what are some current challenges we're seeing? You know, we hear a lot on the news, but you've got your finger on the pulse probably a lot more than many other people out on the street. What are you seeing as current infrastructure funding challenges across the board?
It's always, especially in the Northeast, it's funding. they're not, you know, I mentioned that they're works of art, but they're also works and they are used. So when you talk about bridges that have been up for decades, if not longer, well, there are constant weights that are put on it, whether it's by pedestrians or by trucks or just usual traffic of cars, they wear. And the same with the roads. Roads, particularly in the Northeast, we have the fluctuation. I mean, it's beautiful here in Albany today. Last weekend, it was complete rain. And in about 3 months, it'll be complete ice. So we have conditions that fluctuate. So the Northeast, I mean, even a storm is nicknamed the nor'easter. We have to put up with the weather and we have to design for the weather in mind. But no matter how good you build things, you know, we don't have the secret to saying it's going to last forever. So roads and bridges do deteriorate and they need to be kept up. And that costs money. And it's often not something that's seen when it comes to a public policy that is critical, because they say, well, the road is there, the bridge is there. But engineers will inspect that and they'll say the wear and tear says you have to replace it or you have to upkeep it or you have to do something new. Sometimes bridges have to be replaced to have a stronger structure. Sometimes roads have to be diverted. In the case of New York City, subways don't last forever. They have to be repaired. I mean, even the gateway, the tunnels under the Hudson, under the rivers, these have to be repaired and upkept. And that costs a lot of money. I mean, we're also in a very relevant time for history. We're coming off of some of the highest inflation ever. So that costs money. And that digs into the money set aside for the capital plans, whether it's the New York State DOT or the MTA. Upkeep has to happen. And that is a really big concern for ACEC New York, as it is for our colleagues in the other industries, that the public has the right, in fact, public officials have the responsibility to adequately fund the public roadways and transportation systems. You can't put those things off because you have school buses that go over bridges. You have airplanes that fly in and out of airports. You have tunnels that go under rivers. The last thing you want is any kind of accident. Well, preventative maintenance is often key to this, and it costs a lot of money. But the returns on it are a sound economy and a safe public. So we're always advocating for a very robust New York State DOT capital program and a very robust MTA capital program. And they're starting to work on this right now. So we always lend our voice and try to tell the public that, yes, you have needs. We try to highlight those needs and we try to articulate those to the policymakers and lawmakers and the executives. We think that if we don't do this on behalf of the public, it's probably as big a disservice as not doing it overall, because we're the ones that know best the conditions.
Public funding is critical to what we do. I know there's been some opportunities for P3 type work. Have you guys become involved in that? Just curious, you know, quick thought on how that's working. I know it's newer, but...
You know, and this is why engineers are critical to the whole process of design, build. There are so many methods and so many partnerships. We are currently pushing for progressive design build, something we think very highly of. I remember 25 years ago at the Business Council talking about regular design build. And now we talk about CM, construction management, and PPP. You know, we want to make sure that there are public-private partnerships, that there are alternative delivery mechanisms. In fact, we just changed the name of our committee, which was the Design Build Committee, to the Alternative Delivery Committee. And we recently started a CM committee, Construction Management Committee, because a lot of our firms would do construction management. So we are always open to new ways to deliver products and projects. We want to make sure that we take the most scientific, the best tried and true, and mix them and try to get progressive on these and try to find ways to deliver a top quality project and design in a timely manner in the most efficient way. And we're cognizant that there are many ways to design and enact a public project. So yes, we explore them all.
Very cool. It's interesting. I sit on the board of another organization as well, and we actually just started an alternative delivery committee as well instead of a design build committee, because there are different topics to look at or different avenues to take there. So,
this episode is brought to you by Infinite Consulting Corp, your go-to firm for MBE certified project and construction management consulting. Discover how Infinite can help you build a better future at infiniteconsultingcorp.com.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, projects and ACEC and that side of it. And that's a huge part of the Building Better Future. But the other half of it that I always like to discuss is what are we doing for the industry and the people within it? And so I wanted to ask you, what kind of initiatives does ACEC New York have for, let's say, younger engineers, you know, like people that are still learning the industry and trying to make good decisions and figure out where they're going to be, you know, in 15 or 20 years and the next generation of leaders? You know, are there any initiatives you want to highlight that ACEC kind of takes on?
Oh, yes. Thank you. That's a great opportunity because it is. The future won't be ensured unless we plan today for that. And that's not specific for engineers, but it's also something that we have to make sure that we have a solid corral of those that want to go forward into engineering. It's not something you pick up overnight. It needs a STEM background. It needs the science, technology, engineering, math early on. So instead of just hiring the engineers that used to walk in the door and say, we saw your ad in the paper, or do you need an engineer? We want to start further down the road. And I should say behind us, back down the road, to say junior high, high school, junior college, to encourage people to go into engineering. It used to be, I was on a school board at one time, and I used to ask students, well, what do you want to be, you know, when you get done with your education? Some would say a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or an engineer. And I'd ask them then, the next question was, is that what your parents are? In many cases, that's exactly, you're going to do what you know. So I think that we have, as engineers, an opportunity, in essence, a responsibility to encourage people to go into this very important field out there. So what we've been doing at ACEC is, under our immediate past chair, opening up our scholarship program to junior college students. So a lot of people will say, I'm going to go to junior college. It might be an affordability issue. It might be a locality issue. It might be something that they say, I'm not ready yet for college. Or I want to go to junior college and pay less and get this education while I commute back and forth from home, and then go after 2 years to one of our big engineering firm or colleges. And we are very lucky in New York State because we have about 18 ABET engineering colleges, those that are allowed to do the engineering training programs. And they're phenomenal, including two Ivy League schools. So these students need to be encouraged. So we're going into the junior college ranks. We're starting something this year. We're trying to pilot to go into the lower ranks by getting informational sheets out to the colleges and out to the schools. And also, we're doing an internship program with our partners at AGC and the New York State DOT and ACEC New York firms to give a three-year rolling internship program. So 1 year you intern with a firm for us, and 1 year summer you intern with a firm for AGC, and one summer you intern with the DOT, and get the feel for public construction and hopefully a taste for engineering. So it's no longer just accept the people in who are going to be engineers. It's to get out there and recruit them and encourage them. And probably the capstone, what we've had here, which is the very last step, and we're trying to get lower down on these ranks. The last step is, when they're in school, is to grant scholarships to keep them in school. And we give out over $100,000 and growing per year to almost 30 engineering students in the junior and senior levels in New York State. And these are sponsored by our firms. They're sponsored by fundraisers. And it also is partnered with our partnership with the National Society of Black Engineers, where we had a three-year program to encourage that organization to give out scholarships. And then this year we added junior colleges. So we are really, really trying to fund those that are in school, but we want to go further down the ladder to get those on the ladder to continue upwards. We see a need for it. It won't go away. And we think that with the education programs in New York State, if we can get them in there and keep them here, we'll ensure the future. But it's going to take a little work.
One, as a firm, I think the last several years we've donated a scholarship, and I will continue to do that. I think you guys are doing a wonderful job with that. It helps the people, but it also just makes me feel better about ourselves and what we're doing, because you're absolutely right. We have to ensure the future. That's really the most important thing we can do for the industry, is making sure that there's going to be another level of leadership and another level of engineers that really care about public and public projects to keep moving us forward. We support ACE as well, and I love what they do and going down to the younger ages. I know you were talking about that in terms of schooling. And then I also sit on the board of the Salvadori Center in a very similar concept. You know, we're trying to encourage kids at a very young age to understand what engineering is, because I mean, I can't think of a single TV show where someone's an engineer, right? Like, how often does that happen? But doctors, attorneys, you know, even accounts, like you can see that in a regular, like in your regular discourse in life. And it's not because it's not a wonderful profession. It really is. And you can really feel good about what you do at the end of the day when you go home or when you see a finished project and you realize, you know, like we do some work for the SCA, and I love education as a concept because we're talking about scholarship. When you know a school is opened and students will be learning in that school, and then kids will graduate from that school. And then one day those kids will go on to be professionals and support society in a way that, you know, has a longer impact than your life on this planet probably will. So I think all of those are wonderful initiatives. I'd be more than happy to help support. So if you want to, you know, send me some details after this.
Absolutely.
On the internship program or any of the junior college scholarships, or even how you're trying to secure high school students or even below that. And we are very fortunate. We talk about how great New York State is. There are a ton of great universities here, you know. And so I appreciate you mentioning that. I do want to give you a minute or two also if you want to talk about, I know that you guys have the ACEC leadership program as well, right? For
yes.
Upcoming engineers and leaders. I don't know if you want to touch on that for a quick minute.
Yeah, that's, and I appreciate that, because when we get our engineers to sign up with us and join our ranks, we have a program here called the Leadership Institute. What we do is the leadership is sponsored by our partners, or co-sponsored by our partners with Jennings. It's an intensive year-long program where you will work on various projects. You'll do in-depth readings on leadership and skills in a variety of topics. And it's geared a lot towards engineering. It's about team building and about getting projects done. We offer it in upstate. We offer one online. We offer one down at Metro. We usually meet at a firm. We have a growing alumni. And it's interesting because you learn your motivational value system. What is it that motivates you? What is your personality type when it comes to interaction with people, interaction with projects? There's a red, which is a more aggressive and pushing hard and trying to get things done. And there's a blue part where you're a little more emotional, and then a green part where you might be a cerebral and a rule follower type thing. And you try to build within this, and then you can build and find out how to interact with different people who have different MBSs. I thought that was phenomenal. And a lot of our leadership has gone through it. A lot of staff here has gone through, including myself. And we find that is a great service we provide. You know, we provide a lot of services to our members, and a lot of it, speaking of leadership and education, we do a lot of professional development hours so that engineers that have this requirement under state ed to keep their licenses, we do that. We have webinars throughout the year. We have several conferences where we offer the PDH opportunities. And of course, we broker the meetings with the panels to have a conference like this fall. We have a winter meeting coming up. We will get the leaders of various state agencies and authorities and policymakers, and we'll have panels on, you know, what's new in road and bridges with the DOT and the Thruway and the Bridge Authority. What's going on with the MTA? What's going on in the vertical building for some of our agencies like the Dormitory Authority or State University Construction Fund or Environmental Facilities Corporation? So we offer those things. And then, of course, the advocacy. We always advocate. And that's the biggest form of public education, is we advocate to our policymakers and lawmakers on things that are pro-engineering, pro-growth, pro-business when it comes to the business of engineering. And a lot of that, again, touches on an earlier topic we had of public funding. Since we do a lot of engineering when it comes to our public agencies and public needs, we're always pushing for the proper attention given to that by the legislature and by the governor and the mayor of New York City. I want to make sure that public funding for transportation, whether it's down at the MTA or upstate New York with DOT, that they keep this as a top priority. And again, as we mentioned earlier, because of the situation we're in, as a state that's been around a long time and has a lot of infrastructure that needs to be upkept.
Very cool. I really thank you for your time. But before we let you go, I'm going to do a quick lightning round. So fun way to get to know you a little bit better. So the first question of the lightning round I have today is, are you a text, call, or email type of person? If we want to talk to John, how do we communicate with him?
Call me on the phone.
Call? Yeah. What's your favorite season? Is there anything you like to do, particular time of year?
I really like the fall. I was a football player in high school and also a baseball player, but springtime was very muddy to play baseball. So I always look forward to the fall where it was a little drier, even though it's colder, to play football. So I've stuck with being a fall guy.
See, I didn't know that about you. Well, what position did you play?
I was a utility infielder. We were state champions.
Wow. So
that was in high school. I didn't go much further than that. A lot of my teammates went on to play professionally at various levels, and one is still involved in professional baseball. But I went to CBA in Albany, and a perennial baseball powerhouse. Back in 1986, we were state champions, where I played second, short, and third. And it kind of took after, though I did not have his talent or his longevity, my great uncle, Johnny Evers, my namesake's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Very cool. And I know, does ACC do an event around Cooperstown?
We do. We have our fall conference in Cooperstown. And thank you. I couldn't have a better intro. We have top-notch panels, beautiful place. Our staff is arranged for a visit to the Hall of Fame and a discussion from the president of the Hall of Fame. So I'll get to go and see my uncle's brass plaque down in the hall itself. Looking forward to that.
That's so cool. I just got goosebumps. I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a relationship there. And I'm a big sports guy. We'll have to talk about this offline. That's very cool. So,
well, now you got your trivia for who's the famous middleman in the Tinker to Evers to Chance double play. You say it's Johnny Evers, and I know his nephew.
I'll definitely do that. All right. Besides New York City, we spoke about how great New York City is. What is your favorite city in America?
Well, I'm an Albany guy. I used to always say that once you find out Albany is the center of the universe, everything makes sense. So I haven't gone very far from Albany, New York. A phenomenal city formed in 1686, and it was a Dutch heritage. We still have a tulip festival here. We also have an English heritage, and we are one of the early precursors to the Union, because they had the Albany Plan of Union, and that's one of the roads through Washington Park. We were one of the first states. I think we were the 11th state, and Albany has been the capital for some time. So it's got great heritage, and it's got great history and great engineering and architecture, by the way.
Amazing. And then here's an interesting one. What was the last song you listened to? Either the radio, or did you put it on yourself?
Now, it sounds like something that my kids would ask me, because they're always listening to the radio and everything. I can't recall what it was, but I tell you, if it's any solace, I'll tell you that I am a classic rock fan.
There you go.
You can catch me listening to anything from Led Zeppelin to The Doors, anything from the 70s through 80s. So I'd have to be listening to that and some throwback music, probably on Siena Station WBCR. I click on that every now and then.
Very cool. Well, John, thank you so much again. I know we took a lot of time out of your day, but this was an amazing conversation. A lot for you and I to even catch up on next time I see you. Thank you so much. And you want to say anything else?
Or we'll close it out? Well, I just want to say thanks again. You know, I loved how you start off for what are you grateful for? Always grateful for a new day. And I appreciate spending it with people I admire and respect. We've built up a relationship. I love your family, love your firm. And thank you for being a member of ACC New York.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and for all you do for the public and the public projects and advocacy across the board. And we know there's a lot of fighting interests, and it's good to have someone like you championing our interests. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Building Better Futures. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.